Welcome to KBPS on PRP, a show featuring local news, music, and conversations, produced by students from AM 1450 KBPS, the Portland Public Schools radio station. I'm your host, Joe Anderson. You're listening to KBPS on PRP, with your FM dial tuned to 99.1. On air since 1923, KBPS is the radio station located at Benson High School, staffed by students while they learn about the communications and broadcast industry. Streaming 24/7 at www.kbps.am or 1450 on your AM dial. KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Portland Radio Project is your nonprofit community radio station, closely tuned into Portland. On the dial at 99.1 FM in the heart of Portland, or streaming online from any computer at prp.fm. KBPS on PRP, a new hour-long show featuring KBPS students on Portland radio projects.
Hi, my name is Kimora from KBPS, and I'm here with
Charity.
And we're here to talk to Mr. Jacob about bowling. It's bowling time.
Bowling.
Hey, so I know that you guys just had a tournament. I have a few questions. So I just want to know how bowling even, like, how it goes. Like, what's the rules? How's the team split up, you know, stuff like that. Would you like to elaborate on that for me?
Yeah, sounds great. Keith, Charity, Travis, good morning. Great to have you on KBPS on PRP.
Good morning.
First of all, we've got to let our listeners know the big news. The big news is for the first time in 20 years, Benson Polytechnic High School has a bowling team headed to the state championship tournament. That is the lead story there. So, but a key to kind of swing back around and answer your question, which is a great question, how the heck does high school bowling work?
That's
a great question. It's high school bowling in the state of Oregon is set up in 5-person teams. So you have 5 students mm-hmm. on a team bowling together, mm-hmm. and what the teams do is they bowl one game together as a 5-person team. So, you know, in bowling, there's 10 frames in a game of bowling. Yeah. But how the high school teams work is bowler number one bowls the first frame and the 6th frame of the game. Bowler number two rolls 2 and 7, 3 and 8, 4 and 9, 5 and 10. And then together as a 5-person team, you bowl one game together as a team score. And then it's whichever teams have the highest score total at the end of the tournament will advance. In the district tournament, the top 3 teams advance onto the state championships. And so typically you have to place in the top 3 in order to qualify for state. Our district here in the Portland area happens to be the biggest or one of the largest districts in the whole state. So they give us one extra spot. So they actually, we get 4 boys teams and 4 girls teams get to go to the state championship. And our Benson girls team just happened to squeak into that 4th spot in the district tournament over the weekend and have qualified for the state championship. So the good news is 4th place is good enough to go to state, and we're going to state for the first time in 20 years.
Woo! That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you,
Coach
team.
Jacob. Wow.
The bad news is we didn't get a top 3 spot. So we didn't get a trophy. We don't have any big trophy or anything from the district tournament. Mm-hmm. We got 4th, but we're going to state, baby.
Yeah, as long as you get to go up more and experience more things, it's always good.
Travis, I have a question for you. I know you don't like bowl or anything, but like when you're there, like do you see them have some type of strategy when they bowl?
Yeah, I wonder that too.
Their strategy is. It's not really a strategy. We kind of wing it, and we kind of, like, support each other. It's constantly not, like, putting each other down, which mm-hmm. I've seen other teams do on the other fields, which I find very surprising because mm-hmm. this is, like, very competitive between a lot of high schools in one area. And, like, as a hype man, I'm supposed to encourage our team to mm-hmm. do good. And and even when we do mess up, like hit one pin or something, mm-hmm. I always support them and trying to make them feel like their best selves in that competition, even when we are stressful, hungry, because it's a full day competition where it was from 8:15 to like 3, which is full on time, like concentrating, making sure you're stretched out, make sure you mm-hmm. eat, make sure you're hydrated. Like, it's a full-time job. And mm-hmm. as a hype man, I was constantly thirsty. Like, I was going back for waters constantly.
Yeah.
So the strategy was just keeping each other in line. Mm-hmm. It does require a little bit of skill, but mostly keeping each other in line so you don't feel like we are the worst mm-hmm. in the world.
Yes. I thank people for you. Like, I thank you for people like that, because when you make a mistake or anything like that in a sport, you down yourself very easily. And then the next time you go, it's like, uh-oh, am I going to be able to do it? And for you being the hype man is really good to make them feel better and to just, you know, come back harder and stronger the next time they go out there. Because when you get down on yourself, you're already, you know, in that mental state, like you can't do it. And just to have that special and more oomph and encouragement from somebody else is really good. So I thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Of course.
Yeah, let's let listeners know. So Travis, you are a part of the bowling club, and you come bowl with us on Thursdays. You were not actually bowling in the tournament on the team this weekend, but you still showed up to support the team, and you were there. Or tell us what you did at the tournament, Travis.
So as a hype man, as you know, every team needs a hype person yeah. or hype kind of...
That leader, yeah.
Leader, mm-hmm. like cheerleaders.
Yeah.
That is the hype team for the sport you need.
Yeah.
So like for me, I was like, the chant was, "We are," and then my team would say, "Benson, we are Benson, we are Benson." And that was like the cheer on, and that means like we have enough spirit to go on. We have enough energy to keep going, to,
yes.
well, roll to our next objective, if you get my drift. And so as a hype man, I know I didn't bowl, but even a little bit of support, just like making sure everybody's energized, is very important, and communication is really hard when you have two different teams, which is boys and girls, and then switching lanes and then making sure both teams are eating and staying yeah. hydrated.
Yeah.
So I was supporting that.
That's good.
Really Key good. And Charity, I am surprised that Travis has a voice this morning, because he was just, I mean, you could hear him yelling and screaming from anywhere in the, it didn't matter where you were in the bowling alley, if you were in the bathroom, if you were on the other end of the bowling alley, or if you were hiding out in the bar, you heard this guy yelling and screaming and hollering. And my voice is strained this morning.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can hear it.
Yeah,
I probably
can
have
tell.
A tired, strained voice, but.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, just like you know, when you're playing the games, when you're at the basketball game, and the team is there pumping
yeah.
you up, and the crowd is there, and you got a big crowd there cheering you on, and they're loud. Doesn't that? I mean, Charity, tell me, how do you feel when you're on the court and it's a packed house and everybody's screaming for you? I mean, how does that help you in your competition when you're playing? How's that feel?
I just feel like, when it's a big crowd, or when I hear, you know, my family or friends cheering for me, I just get, my confidence level just goes up even more
yeah.
when it's just like dead, instead of a dead, you know, crowd, so.
Yeah, when you're kicking butt and they're cheering you on, you kick more butt, you know,
right.
just it feels so good.
Yeah.
Also, Jacob, I want to let you know, like, when you said my voice ain't raspy, you know what's the trick behind it, Jacob?
A hot tea and cough drops.
Actually, it's a lot of football and rock bands that are making your ears bleed. As my cup of tea in the morning, I have been to a lot of rock bands where I help them. Like, I'll sometimes have to scream to somebody else because they are not paying attention. Like, I'll have to do many things to make sure people are in line. Like, I've screamed so much in my life to the point where it's just a normal thing
yeah.
for me. I'm used to, like, projecting my voice so much. This is why I'm more of an extrovert than an introvert these
mm-hmm.
days. It is not easy to speak when you when you've not spoken a lot or yell a lot, when you yell a lot, it makes you feel more confident when you talk.
Yeah.
So.
Before we wrap up the interview, I just wanted to drop a couple more notes in really quick. The girls bowling team will be heading to the state championship. It is the last weekend of February, all the way down in Medford. So I'm in the process of doing all the homework to get the buses in line and get the hotels in line and get our chaperones in line. I got a lot of work.
That's going to be so fun.
Now the fun's over. Now the work begins.
Right.
And I can tell you that it's been exactly 20 years from 2023 back to 2003. Mm. 2003 was the very last time that Benson had a bowling team in the state championship. I know that for a fact because the picture's on my wall. Guess who was on that team?
You.
This kid. And it was the boys in 2003 that made it to the state championship. So I have to go back and dig through the records and do the homework to figure out the last time a girls' bowling team made it to the state championship from Benson. It very well could be this is the first time in school history that we have a girls' team heading to the state championship. The other thing I can tell you is that Benson has won the state championship bowling tournament in Oregon.
Nice.
Benson was bowling state champs in 1951.
Nice.
So it can happen again, team.
Right. Okay, I have one more question for you, Jacob. Okay, so like you said, and that we know that you've been in bowling and, you know, you've experienced bowling and you probably do it now still too, right? Okay, I heard that you're really good. What is your technique of how to roll the ball? Because when I go bowling... When I go bowling, it goes straight in the gut. It doesn't even reach the pins yet. What's your technique? I know down the middle, but like how?
What's the secret, right?
Right.
Well, the truth, the great question, Keith. The truth is that it varies for everybody, right? So you know, bowling is one of those things where like you get a really good coach to work with you.
Right.
And get a coach that can find what you're doing already well and improve upon what you're already doing well, and not a coach that wants to come in and change everything that you're doing to fit you to what they want to do.
I feel that.
You got to find a coach that wants to work with you where you're already at.
Yeah.
A lot of it is keeping your shoulders square with the lane. Mm. So a lot of it comes back to if you're throwing balls in the gutter, it's shoulders and hips. So line your shoulders and your hips up flat and square with the lane. And then your arm swing is a nice, flat, straight swing. Mm. And all of a sudden, your balls aren't going to the side because maybe your hips and your shoulders are pointed to the side. But if your hips and shoulders are pointed right down the middle of the lane and you can swing that ball straight down the lane, you're going to be knocking more pins over immediately just like that.
Mm.
Other thing I'll tell you is there's arrows on the lane.
Right.
The arrows and the dots on the lanes are there for a reason. It's to help you aim and to find your what we call find your mark or find your target.
Yep.
As a right-handed bowler, you're going to kind of lean on the right side of the lane and roll into the middle of the pins.
Mm-hmm.
As a left-handed bowler, you're going to kind of lean on the left side of the lane and roll it into the middle of the pins. But that's a little bit of bowling 101 there. And anytime you want to come bowling with me, I'll help you out. I'll get you rolling 300s in no time.
Okay. Nice. Yeah, when you were explaining how, you know, the structure of your body should be, reminds me a lot of volleyball. When you're up in the air and if you want the ball to go a certain way, diagonal or on the line or anything like that, your body has to face that way. So, yeah, that seems like a really good technique.
I forgot you were the volleyball champ. That's right, Keith. Yeah. I made it up to a volleyball game. I saw you. You can get get up there and get high and spike that stuff. I saw that.
Thank you.
And Charity, you're the basketball superstar.
Mm-hmm.
Girls getting ready to. Where are girls at right now? Basketball rank? Do you know?
No, not at the moment.
They high.
But
they up there.
We're 4-0 right now.
Yeah.
So
I can't remember our sportscasting director Sean Phillipson has the numbers, but it's something like the Benson girls varsity basketball team has not lost a league game in like 60 or 70 games.
Yeah. 70 games?
If it's like league games. So it's not counting out of league games.
Yeah.
But if you're talking just PIL games, they haven't lost in years.
Years.
Yep.
That's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, 70 games. I can't even get my head around that. Like 70
Very
games.
Very talented
that's a
girls
lot.
On
and
the team.
A, That is like, time and a, like, every game that you do is, like, time efficient. You have to practice, redo it, learn from your mistake, then do it again. And you do it, you fail and fail again until you succeed in what you work for. You do not just kind of lay back and, like, it's, like, the same thing with, like, if you want to be rich, you cannot just lay back on and just let the money flow to you. You have to work
for it. Go get it.
You got to go get it. Chase your dreams. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
So 70 games, though. Oh, my God.
Travis, Charity, Kimora, thank you so much for having a little bowling chat on KBPS on BRB this morning.
Of course. Anytime. I'm ready to hear how the tournament goes or the state tournament.
Wish y'all luck.
Wish y'all luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
KBPS listeners, really excited to welcome into the KBPS studios here at Benson High School one of our very own Benson students who just auditioned for one of those singing reality TV shows that everybody is watching, The Voice. Hugo, go ahead and jump on the mic there and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself and you know, why you're passionate about music and singing.
Well, my name is Hugo Pia Lewis. I am a 10th grader at Benson High School. And why am I passionate about singing? It started when I was younger. I used to sing a lot when I was younger. I fell in love with music when I saw a musical. It was Les Mis. I saw it on Broadway. And that really is when I first took off with loving to sing.
And on Broadway, you mean you actually saw it in New York on Broadway?
I saw it on New York and Broadway.
Wow. I've seen Les Mis in performed, but it was at a theater in Washington, D.C., a very amazing play. And I'm not surprised that that was an inspiration for you. That's an amazing story.
Yeah.
So you just mentioned, how long have you been singing for?
Since I was around like five, I always been able to. I love playing piano, so that's also what contributed to me loving to sing. I would play a song on the piano by ear, and I would just play it on the piano, and I would try to sing along with it.
Now, have you done anything like performances or talent shows before?
Yes. I go to a camp called Camp 10 Trees. It's a camp in Washington State. It is a camp for people who are part of the LGBTQ+ community. And they, towards the end of the camp, they do a talent show. And I would do it each year. I would sing. I would perform in some sort of way, like I would perform a little act of a musical or something like that. So, yeah.
And what about auditions? I mean, auditioning for The Voice, that's kind of a big deal. Have you done any of these big time audition things before? Or is this your first time?
This is my first time.
So, can you tell us how it went? Do you know? Are you going to be on the show? Do we get to see you on TV? Or what can you tell us?
I think I did personally really good. I decided to actually go through with the audition because I felt like I was having a really good day. And I got the results this morning, and unfortunately, I didn't make it through. So, I'm just going to keep trying. Try again next year. I have more auditions coming up.
Well, and that's my next question is, I was sorry to hear that you didn't make the cut this time, but yeah. I'm very happy to hear that you're not going to give up. That's beautiful. So what's next on your radar then?
Next, I'm actually auditioning to get on the Disney company. Oh. And then I'm going to be auditioning the following weekend for America's Got Talent. And then I'm going to be doing a audition for a music reality show in Korea.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm excited. And I know that our listeners, at least I imagine some of our listeners are pretty excited. And I know what we're all thinking now. We got to hear this. We want to hear something. Can you do you have anything you'd be willing to sing for us real quick?
Yeah, I have the song that I auditioned with.
Okay.
I'm going to do the first part of it.
Okay.
Because it is kind of a long song. So, sure. Yeah. Here I go. All of these lines across my face tell you the story of who I am. So many stories of where I've been and how I got to where I am. But these stories don't mean anything when you got no one to tell them to. It's true. I was made for you. Yeah.
Hugo, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. You sound good. and just the fact that you have the courage to stand up and say, let me sing. Give me the microphone. Let me audition.
Yeah.
Where do you find your courage to do this?
Well, I have support from my friends, my family. They are all like, if you have a dream, push for it. Never give up. So I'm not giving up.
Amazing story. Thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Yeah.
And good luck. And I can't wait to hear you on The Voice or Disney someday. And when you get your album released, you let me know. And I can't wait to air it on KBPS.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Hugo.
Yeah.
Hello, this is Colby with the KBPS News Center, and just recently I watched Avatar 2, The Way of Water, and I figured I'd take some time to review it and talk about how I feel about that movie. Now, it starts off really well. It's 3.5 hours long, so there's plenty of runtime if you're into long movies, but for the majority of that movie, I'd say that it feels pretty slow. It definitely takes some time to really build up, to work on its plot, and really introduce and make you care about some of the new characters. But when it does pick up, it's very, very, very good. It's really probably the last hour or hour and a half or so that is good. It definitely does feel slow, and for the majority of the time, I caught myself on my phone, talking to friends, doing whatever. One thing that I do like about the movie is that it explores more of the world and even brings back a few characters that you may love. We even have a KBPS alumni, Joel David Moore, who was in the movie. He was in the first one, and he's also in the second one, but with a much smaller role. He probably only has about a minute or two of screen time. But with that said, it is a good movie. I do like how it shows more both sides of what's going on and definitely explores a lot more of Pandora, which is the world, and Avatar shows the sea life, the animal life, how the people operate, how they live, how they find their way, and There's going to be another one which supposedly explores a whole new different race of people on Pandora, which would be very, very interesting to see. And I definitely think that they should stick to that, where exploring this world a lot more and getting to understand how it works and what exactly, you know, the creatures and people are and how they live. The thing I don't like about the movie, though, is that there were two plots that felt pretty, well, kind of cut off. And while I do get, you know, those 3.5 hours, I hope that they touch more on it in the next one. This is Colby with the KBPS News Center. I hope everyone has a good day.
Joe from KBPS, here to present the KBPS playlist, where a different student each week shows off the music they're listening to right now, and I'm happy to present mine for the second time. And surprise, surprise, it's Judas Priest again. Absolutely wonderful song from a killer artist, Electric Eye.
Electric Eye by Judas Priest. Next up, a personal favorite of mine. Well, they're all favorites, but you know what I mean. Anyway, here's This Corrosion by the Sisters of Mercy. We'll be right back.
Sure.
Today. You're listening to KBPS on PRP.
If you'd like to support KBPS on PRP, please consider donating to Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like KBPS on PRP stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click the big red heart.
Hello, this is Oscar from KBPS 1415. I'm here with
Owen.
So today we're going to talk about the top five point guards right now in the 2022 to 2023 season. We're mid in the season, you know, going into February right now.
Yep.
All-Star Game's coming up.
Yep.
So right now we're going to talk about top five point guards. So the first one in the list is ranked number one, Luka Doncic, with 33.8 points per game.
Yeah, makes sense.
Step back three,
it's Luka.
For second, we got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for number two with 30.7 points per game.
Yeah, I mean, SGA's been killing it this season.
There's a lot of buzz with that point guard.
Yeah.
And
I think
third,
he's going to be the next big thing, you know?
You sure?
I'm positive.
For number three is Damian Lillard, 28.8 points per game.
Nice, yeah.
How you feel about Lillard?
Yeah.
You love him?
Dame Dollar, man, I love him.
Dame Dollar.
Quite a native.
Yep. But the fourth spot is Ja Morant with 27.5 points per game.
Yeah, Ja Morant's been killing it this season, too.
For the fifth top five point guard is Trae Young with 27.4 points per game.
Yeah, I mean, Trae Young, he's definitely up there, you know. I think he deserves number five spot.
All right, and for our favorite point guards, who's your favorite point guard, Owen?
De'Aaron Fox.
Why?
Because he's just my GOAT, and he's been improving a lot this season. Yeah, for sure.
And we also got Redding here. Who's your favorite point guard, Redding?
Jrue Holiday, all day, every day.
And for my favorite point guard, you already know the point guard from Brooklyn Nets, Kyrie Irving. Kyrie, I feel like he deserves the number five spot. He's right behind Trae Young with 25.6 points per game. So, I mean, hey, I feel like he can do better. So, Kyrie's my GOAT. But, yeah, I mean, that's all of our opinions with Owen and Redding here and me. Thank you for listening, and this has been Oscar.
And Owen.
And your boy, Redding.
Hi there, I'm Chelsea Spirino here with the KPS student staff. Here with?
Colby.
And Colby, I'm here to interview you about Pod Nan's barbecue pit that's open at 1625 Killsworth Street.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I used to live pretty close to there. When I first got back to Oregon, I think it was my third house. I lived there, close to there.
And do you plan on ever going to the barbecue place? And if you do, what do you like about barbecue?
Probably eventually once I have some free time, but I mean, barbecue has always been pretty important for me. My dad, he used to make barbecue every time I'm down there, and for Christmas we always barbecue some ribs and steaks and all that. So, you know, just barbecue, just kind of an everyday part of my life, pretty much.
Barbecue's pretty baller.
I mean, yeah, it's just great food.
Got any favorite types of cut of meat or any favorite sauce?
A tri-tip sandwich, always. It's just always great.
And for those who don't know what that is, mind explaining?
It's meat.
Anything else I did?
No.
All right. Well, that was Colby about the new barbecue place. So yeah, again, that is Pod Nan's Pit Barbecue located at 1625 Killsworth Street. I am Chester Freelander with the KPS Student Staff. Signing off.
Hey, listeners, and thank you for listening to the KBPS Hour. My name is Zip, and I'll be continuing my semi-weekly segment where I review a song from an artist's album that was released recently. This week, I'll be doing the song Welcome to My Island by Caroline Polachek. It was released on December 5th last year and was produced by Daniel Negro, Danny L. Harley, Jimmy Sack, and the songwriter herself, Caroline Polachek. Let's take a listen.
Welcome to my island. See the palm trees wave in the wind. Welcome to my island. Hope you like me, you ain't leaving. Welcome to my island. See the palm trees wave in the wind. Welcome to my island. Hope you like me, you ain't leaving.
Watch your ego, watch your head, girl. You're so smart, so talented. But now the water's turning red, and it's all your fault, and it's all your mess. And you're all alone, you can't go to bed. Too high on your adrenaline. I gotta go somewhere where you
pretender. Forget the rules, forget your friends, just you and your reflection. Cause nothing's gonna be the same again. No, nothing's gonna be the same again.
Quite rejecting that foundation, Welcome to My Island has a slipping grasp of genres of old, but it maintains some exponential and very real memento lyrics. It is as uplifting as it is blunt with its honesty and fixation in the later stages of the track. There's a story-like progression and introduction to the island Polacek appears to be stranded on, and the desire that pops up in her choruses. There is a message of messiness with the clarity and crisp mixing on display. Remarkable, really. Polacek navigates grand rises and falls to experiment and show off not just her vocal range, but her writing talents. Welcome to My Island feels like an opener from its title all the way through the structure, a rare beast of a track that holds itself as one with constant replay value. It has the best earworm qualities that only the best can rely on, yet marks a consistency for Polacek as a singer, and it pushes herself to the next level. Stunning that mixture of light bops and darker lyrical enticements may be, it is up to Polacek to make sure the rest of her album is up to that task, or at the very least in a similar place of quality. Welcome to My Island sets the bar incredibly high. That's all for now. My name is Zip, and I'll be back on next week's KBPS Hour.
KBPS on PRP. Today we're going to be interviewing my radio teacher, Mr. Patterson.
Hey, Gio. Thanks for doing an interview with me. Good to talk with you.
Yeah, of course. I have a couple of questions that I were hoping that I am hoping that you're able to answer.
Ask me anything you want.
How did you get into the radio industry?
That's a great question. The answer is KBPS. My earliest memories, I can remember being about 6 or 7 years old, hanging out with my grandpa in his pickup truck. And my grandpa had a CB radio in his truck. Have you ever played around with a CB radio before?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, breaker out there, 10-4, good buddy. I need a radio check. Call around back.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, holy cow, I can push a little button and talk into this thing and somebody across the town can hear me and they'll talk back to me. I thought that was magical. And so I would beg my parents to let me go hang out with Grandpa John, because Grandpa John had a CB in the pickup and we would jump on that radio and holler around to the city of Portland. And my grandpa was also the person who taught me how to record audio on a cassette tape. I don't know if you ever played around with cassette tapes. I know that.
Yep.
I would guess that you may have. They're a little bit before your time. All you would do is you would put a little piece of tape over the corners. There's a little hole in the corner of a cassette tape. And if you cover that with a piece of tape, you can record over a cassette tape. And so, mm-hmm. I'd listen to the radio. My favorite radio stations were Z100 and 94.7 NRK growing up. And I would record songs like Smash Mouth All-Star as it was coming out on the radio for the first time. And record those songs on my cassette player, pretending to be a radio DJ. And that the love of communications and broadcasting was instilled into me at a very early age. And ultimately, I found my calling thanks to KBPS in high school, at Benson High School.
How come you're still interested in the radio industry? Like, what's kept you going for all this time?
It's magic. It's magical. When you are sitting in that control room and you are cranking up the jams and you are announcing on the air that there is electricity running through you, there is a vibe, there is an energy in that moment, in that room, that we cannot describe, but we feel it and we feed off of that. And it's inspiring. It's motivating.
It's addicting.
It's addicting. It is the, it is one of the healthiest addictions in the world. And it's so much fun, man. Mm-hmm. And if you're passionate about music and passionate about these kinds of things like we are, you just, you get that energy, you get that vibe, it gets you cranked up. And then it takes me 5 hours to wind down because I'm pumped up so much. I just did a kick butt air shift on the radio. I'm just getting goosebumps right now thinking about it.
I have one more question. How did you figure out about Benson? Like, why did you want to go to Benson High School originally?
Great question. The truth is the answer is bowling. Right. I was supposed to go to Marshall High School. I grew up in Southeast Portland in the Lentz neighborhood. My neighborhood school was Marshall High School. But also I bowled on the bowling every morning on Saturday mornings at the bowling alley. And one of my really good friends who was also a bowler, when I was in eighth grade in middle school, they recruited me to go to Benson. They said, don't go to Marshall. We need you to come to Benson to be on the bowling team. And as a freshman, my freshman year at Benson, I said, sure, why not? I love bowling. My friend goes to Benson. He wants me to be on the bowling team. Sure, why not? My freshman year, we went to the district tournament. We took third place. We went to the state championship. We missed the final cut by 7 pins, ended up in the consolation bracket, took first place in the consolation bracket. And I was one freshman on a team of 4 seniors. And it's all because of bowling. I am a Benson Techman for life because of bowling.
Huh. I just got in because of the automotive. Everything.
But what a story. Gio, thank you so much for taking some time to chat with me today.
Yeah, of course.
Hello, I'm Mariana, and I'm here with
Oscar, live from KBPS 1450.
Today we're going to be talking about the football player Damar Hamlin, who plays for the Buffalo Bills, who suffered a cardiac arrest on January 3rd when the Buffalo Bills were playing against the Bengals. After Damar Hamlin suffered the cardiac arrest, he was rushed to the nearby hospital.
Here's an interview from a health oc teacher we did at Benson on some information about cardiac arrest.
Hello, I'm Mariana, and I'm here with
Ms. Padua.
What is a cardiac arrest?
A cardiac arrest is a life-threatening emergency. It's where there's the electrical activity of the heart stops working properly, and it can cause the heart to either contract too fast or actually stops contracting.
How dangerous is it?
It's very serious and dangerous as far as cardiac arrest goes. Heart disease and stroke is a leading cause of death for Americans or people in the United States. And based off of American Heart statistic, about 1,000 people are affected with sudden cardiac arrests a day for all ages.
What can cause it?
Causes of cardiac arrest could be some kind of cardiovascular disease, high blood pressure, heart attack. It can also be caused by trauma, getting hit in the chest, also drug overdoses, like opiate overdoses, getting electrocuted, any kind of breathing emergencies like drowning and choking can lead into a cardiac arrest.
On January 9th, Damar Hamlin was released from the Ohio Hospital and is in Buffalo, New York, to continue his recovery before making the transition home. Damar has tweeted on Twitter saying, "Grateful for the awesome care I received at UCMC. Happy to be back, Buffalo. The docs and nurses at Buffalo General have already made me feel at home."
Hey, this is Jonathan from KBPS Portland, back with another single called In My Blood. It's a deep house track that I uploaded to all platforms for you to enjoy. Here it is, and thanks for listening.
Without your hands, without me in your arms. But looking back, I wonder why I did it.
If you'd like to support KBPS on PRP, please consider donating to Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like KBPS on PRP stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click the big red heart. KBPS on PRP, the new student show airing on Portland Radio Project, featuring Benson High School KBPS radio students. On air since 1923, KBPS is the radio station located at Benson High School, staffed by students while they learn about the communications and broadcast industry. Streaming 24/7 at www.kbps.am or 1450 on your AM dial. KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Portland Radio Project is your nonprofit community radio station, closely tuned into Portland. On the dial at 99.1 FM in the heart of Portland and streaming worldwide from any computer at prp.fm. This concludes our show for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joe Anderson, and this has been an hour with KBPS on PRP.